quick disclaimer to the audience. India is getting some work done at her abode.
Yes, yes.
So if it sounds like someone's getting hammered to death, it's just a wall.
Yes, okay. Believe that. It is just a wall. There is no one banging to get out of my basement.
Wow, okay.
No one.
Welcome, it's 10 Very Big Books. Today we're talking about Gardens of the Moon, Book 3, The Mission. Tok Tool and the Talanai Mass. That's right. It's the Rivi Plains. We're doing it all backwards today. The introduction is coming last. My name is Peter Bond, and with me is my friend and closest confidant, not a murderer, India Jones.
Aloha.
And of course, the mad puppet of this particular podcast, Joshua Baker.
You're all my marionettes, and it's all a dream.
That was fantastic.
Thank you.
You know, I actually felt like I had a fun banter thing I wanted to do, but it seems like we really kind of we used up all the juice, so to speak, you know?
Can we just use a little more? There's a little, you wring it real tight, there's a little bit left.
I don't think so, and I think this particular...
I'm swishing the bottle. There's some juice left in that bad boy.
Oh, actually, no. Do you know what? It's just like that kind of condensation with traces of the juice. You know, it's like the little water at the bottom of the mustard.
It's like juice adjacent.
There's nothing that was a horrible one. Water at the bottom of the mustard. You didn't shake it. You didn't shake that bad boy.
I don't know what that one got me so good.
Oh my god, this opening's a gangbuster. It's a rocket straight to the moon.
Garden of the moon.
All right, let me summarize.
Off to a great start, as always.
Chapter 8. The bridge burners have arrived north of Darujistan. On the shores of Lake Azure, the Black Maranth unload munitions and confer with Whiskey Jack. Quick Ben uses his magic to contact Hairlock. The puppet emerges from the chaos between warrens and informs Quick Ben about the Hound of Shadow, Perrin, and Tattersail. Afterwards, the bridge burners set sail for Darujistan, with Quick Ben proposing something to Whiskey Jack. Josh, this is our first time seeing the bridge burners after we learned about the characters inside Darujistan, and we're catching up with their mission to try and come to approach and siege the city. What did you think about it?
Well, I thought it was, first off, I saw that it was 12 pages, and I was pretty hype.
Pleasantly surprised.
Yes. And but I thought it was interesting. I miss my boy Whiskey Jack. He starts off talking to the Maranth.
Yeah, Bug's Life.
The Bug People, which I've before asked about, and every answer I get, I still don't quite understand, but I'm gonna go with it. It was interesting to see that they kind of, like, treated him with some respect. Like, we keep getting told that Whiskey Jack is this great general, but, like, I feel like if these Bug People acknowledge him, I'm like, how did you end up here in this shitty mission?
Yeah.
It was interesting to see that, like, you know, he's in this bad position, but, like, obviously the dude's done some shit to get some respect. Cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, I think later on when we're in Pale, they talk about how he used to be Dujek's commander. You know,
he's
clearly a storied veteran.
Yeah. I also, I mean, whenever I'm with the, it's so weird because when you're with the bridge burners, like,
yeah,
these characters in any other fantasy novel, like, they would be the main characters, that, like, the only characters, and we would see. And it's so wild that, like, they have their own lives and this own great story, but we don't get to see it. We get to see these, like, glimpses into it. And I hate it, and I love it.
Really interesting. What do you think about that, Inge?
Okay. I didn't know that there was Bug People in that chapter, so that's fascinating.
That's the... no, when Perrin first shows up on Genabacus, he flies on a giant bug to the city of Pale.
Oh. In this chapter?
No, like four or five chapters ago.
No, I'm talking about this chapter. I didn't realize that he was talking to a bug person at all.
Ah, I see.
But when does the plan come into? Because that's all I really got from this chapter was that there was a plan, and he's like, I wonder what bullshit Sari's up to. And then that's really what I got from it. Like, they were going on a boat, and audiobook is off to a bad start. We'll say that much.
Yeah, well, they're staging the plan.
And then, oh, wait. So, wait. Let me just tell you from what I understood. Okay. And then we can go from there. So there were two people with two conflicting ideas of how this plan was going to go.
Sure.
And then they were like, one guy was like, we could do your plan, but it'd get us all killed. So we're going to do my plan. And so then they're, but nobody knows how to ride a boat or to do something with a boat except for Sari. And Sari's
no
like,
one knows how to fish except for Sari. Yeah. And then everyone's like I can what's fish. Up, Sari?
Yeah.
You know, seems like a strange skill for her to have to them.
And then, yes. And then I found out later that apparently Whiskey Jack's gone. He went somewhere else with, I guess maybe he was with a different team of people.
Yeah, they split up. Kalam, Quick Ben, and Sari kind of go off, and then Whiskey Jack and the rest of the soldiers are in a kind of separate team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And was the little marionette in this chapter? Yes, he was. Yes, he was, because this is when I was in the supermarket.
Sense memory.
That. And so, yes. So, and then he
kind of sums up what happened in the City of Pale when the Hound of Shadow attacked Perrin and Tattersail.
Right. Yes. But whoever he was talking to who controls him is, right?
Quick Ben. They're allies. He doesn't control the puppet.
Oh, I thought he said that he did.
Well, yeah, the puppet kind of like...
Well, the
like,
puppet is like yeah. answering to him. Like, you know, they're allies. I don't know if he controls him. He summoned him.
Oh.
You know, like he like summoned Hairlock to him.
I think it's more that they're bound and that
they
Quick
use
Ben,
that word, yeah.
Quick Ben kind of has like some weird connection that like he could kind of mess with Hairlock, but it's tenuous at best.
Yeah. And
it's not.
He...
It's not like Quick Ben can be like, "Yo, bring me some grape soda."
Right.
And Hairlock's like, "I must."
He did say that. I don't remember what he said, but basically, like, it's getting harder to like not control, but I guess. I don't know. He said,
well,
something grows, like, he's getting more in control.
Yeah, you'll remember, Hairlock is, like, not technically within one of the Warrens, right?
Yeah, that's
he's
like crazy.
He's within the, like, the, you know, the space between the Warrens, chaos, as it's called. And, like, as a result, he's, you know, yeah, he's losing a few strings, if that puppet makes sense. I don't know.
No, it does. It does. But, and then another thing that he said, I'm just trying to understand the small parts, maybe to understand the whole story. So he's like, you can't go to the, like, you know what? It's so confusing. So this guy who's this marionette is in between. So he keeps trying to like get to somewhere, but it like makes him, it breaks him or something.
He's not trying to get somewhere. You know, he's like acting, and we kind of learn about this later on. He's like, you know, he's a rogue agent.
He's informant.
Yeah, he's like informant. He's hunting crows, you know. He's trying to, you know, work with the bridge burners in a way.
Okay, and then I guess my last question is, he was talking like he was getting kind of like working for someone else, kind of, or something. And he had like a knife, and he thought he was going to like stab him, I think, at some point. But then he just like put it back. And then he read his mind at some point, and his mind said something about Tattersail, I believe. Like,
well, they talked about Tattersail.
Right, but then, yes, but then he like read his mind, I think. No? Did he
Josh,
not?
Josh, ringing a bell?
No.
Oh.
It doesn't ring a bell for Pete.
That's awkward. I feel like I want to revisit it in my audiobook, but I'll save that for later. Okay, well, yeah, I thought he did, because he was like telling him, he felt like he wasn't telling him everything. Maybe not. So he isn't, so we're not concerned about his allies, who he's...
Oh, well, I mean, I wouldn't say he's like, he certainly seems a little unhinged to me.
Oh, for sure.
So he was not at any, he never at, he took his little knife out at some point, this little marionette. I know he did. I know he did it.
He's like Chucky in that way.
You know, oh, God damn it. Well, that's all I got from this chapter. So, it's all I know.
Well, hopefully that cleared something up. I can't promise it did.
No, I guess it does make sense. But maybe you could explain to me more so about the plans. And they were throwing a lot of names around in the audiobook, and I was just not following.
You'll remember Hairlock kind of ended up as a puppet because
yes.
the High Mage Tayshrin kind of like betrayed him and the other wizards during the Battle of Pale.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of, that's how he ends up in puppet form. So he's certainly motivated to work against Tayshrin.
Mm.
What I really liked about this chapter, is, you know, like, I feel like, especially, like, if you compare it to next chapter, often I feel like there's a lot of plot and we're, like, rushing to, and you're, like, rushing to understand who, what, why, where, you know, like, there's so much you're trying to take in. And what I liked about this chapter is it was very small. It was, you know, it's just, here are the bridge burners. Here's what they're up to. And then here's Trotz being a silly guy. You know?
Trotz is fun.
Trotz is fun. And that's what I, you know, I just, I enjoyed spending time with the characters. And I think for me, I was so caught off guard by this chapter. Because when I think about the book, I think about, you know, kind of the larger story in a way. And not necessarily the smaller character moment.
It's very impressive that you can imagine a larger story in this. Because to me, it's just a bunch of little sub stories going on with with no clear plot of a larger story actually at all.
But there were you know, the Darujistan, India.
I don't Darujistan.
Nice.
Oh, damn it.
And on that, chapter 9. Tok the Younger, an outrider in the Second Army, and Claw rides towards Pale. He comes across corpses and follows the track south. Tok finds the Imperial adjunct Lorne being ambushed by Bargast. He helps rescue her along with the help of Tool, a Talani mass. Tok and the adjunct ride the same horse towards Pale. Perrin wakes up, his memory clouded, and doesn't remember the Hound of Shadow attack. Tattersail thinks somebody has intervened to save Perrin's life. Tok and the adjunct arrive in Pale, greeted by Dujek. The city is being occupied, the nobility culled by Taishrin. They speak of Opan's involvement, and Lorne learns that Tattersail is in the city. They have a dinner. Tattersail and Perrin attend. The dinner begins with Lorne accusing Tattersail of slaughtering her family. They nearly duel. Tattersail almost surrenders herself, but Dujek puts a stop to it. They speak shortly about Opan and Shadow Throne, and then retire. Afterwards, Perrin reveals that the adjunct sent him to Genna Bacchus to find Sari. Tattersail decides to leave to find the bridge burners, but before she does, they spend the night together. Adjunct Lorne and Tool discuss the Talani Mass. Crone flies towards the warlord, Caladan Brood. So, India, this is, in this chapter, we meet Tool, Onos Tolan, as his full name would be.
Did you just pull that name out of nowhere?
That's his name. Anyway, Tool. Yeah. And he's a member of the Talani Mass, and this is our kind of first time seeing them.
Ugh.
Any first impressions about them?
Yeah, Peter, I gotta say, that name is not ringing any bells. Maybe
the Talani Mass?
Yeah. Maybe you could describe
I got it.
Him.
Yeah, take it,
Josh. So a week and a half ago when I read this chapter, I texted Peter and said, how the fuck are we 60% of the way through this book or whatever, and they're just revealing the existence of like a multi-thousand strong army of undead people who were, we later find out, I guess, conscripted by the previous emperor?
Yeah.
Also, they have magic canceling abilities.
Did they kill the corpses in the beginning?
Yeah. And then...
Oh!
And then, like, Tool kind of shows up out of the ground and, like, kind of saves the day.
Oh! And then he grabs the guy and breaks the leg and stabs him.
Yeah.
That's
him? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's an undead bone man.
Oh, I love him.
He's a skeleton man. Oh, I'm a big Tool fan.
I like that he came out of the ground. I like that he's
big
fan
of Schism.
He has, like, old clothes
the
on.
The pot.
I like that he really came through in that moment. That was a very violent scene.
Yeah, it was a little violent.
I'm a little upset we just kind of yelled over my sweet references to Tool the band, but...
It was Tool.
Whatever.
I wasn't listening, but...
Sorry, I was having a moment of clarity.
I loved it.
I just want to appreciate, during the Tool love fest, I think he ends the next chapter with the great quote about futility. Oh, it's so good. Ugh.
Here, I'll stall while Peter looks it up.
I got it.
So...
Nice try. Next, your Tool references aren't getting out today, John.
I was going to talk about the 76ers.
Tell me, Tool, what dominates your thoughts? The IMAS shrugged before replying. I think of futility, adjunct. Do all IMAS think of futility? No. few think at all. Why is that? The IMAS leaned his head to one side. Because, adjunct, it is futile. And then Lauren says, let's go, Tool. We're wasting our time.
That's... Tool's had a long time to think of some zingers, and he really throws them down.
Oh, Tool's got the zingers. He's got them stored up. So, Josh, we also meet kind of Tok the Younger, and he kind of befriends Ganois, he kind of comes into the fold. Any Tok the Younger thoughts?
So, I know we met Tok briefly.
He helped introduce Perrin first to the city.
Yes, I gotta tell you, I'm a pretty big fan of Tok the Younger. He's, go ahead, you moved your face towards the mic.
Well, that makes two of us.
Oh. So...
Hey, three of us.
Ayo! Tok City up here.
Tok City, bitch.
We should rename the podcast Talk and Tok. What do we think?
Fuck! Me, that's good.
Anyway.
All right, good talk. So...
Good talk.
Anyway, so I like Tok the Younger because he like straddles that. He's a claw, which they've been presented as kind of like, you know, killers trained from a young age who have no remorse. But then Tok's also like, yeah, but then I was in this army for 4 years and there's some cool dudes. And I love that, like, no one in this world is free from being human. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's like, an insightful really, thought.
Yeah. I crushed that. I don't know. Like, in so many fantasy
novels...
He's got,
like, a split loyalty. He's a man of two minds.
In so many fantasy books, like, you know, the people are like, oh, super edge claw people, I serve one master and he is death. And Tok's like, oh, these soldiers are pretty cool dudes. He's also, like, him in that dinner scene is great.
Oh,
because he is...
I love that in the dinner scene... Erickson chooses to write it from his point of view, and he does this all the time, and that's one of the things I like so much about the series, is that, like, in a room there'll be, you know, a god and all these things, all these powerful people, and the point of view will be of, like, the normal Joe Schmo in the room.
That's exactly what I was gonna say. Like, I love how out of depth he just so is in that scene. And like,
he's just chilling.
Yeah. He's like, because, I mean, you know, there's the whole shit where, like, Tattersail and Lorne are about to deal, and, you know, Tok is, he can't take sides, but he's also, like, not trying to let people just murder each other. I don't know. I love a lot of it. And I know what you're thinking. What do they have at this dinner? Good news. It's Taco Tuesday.
India, what did you think of the dinner? Kind of the centerpiece scene of the chapter, in my mind.
I mean, I did not get as much of it out of it as it seems Josh did. However, I don't... Is this scene back in time?
No.
Or No? At all? Like,
no.
None of that chapter was back in time?
None of the chapters back in time. What
are
we doing?
Oh, my God. Okay, never mind then. I don't know, because I just thought that because the puppet came and was, like, talking all this shit about what was going on with Tattersail, and then she was like, I'm awake in the next chapter.
Oh.
Oh,
well, like,
I see,
there's sort of flashbacks, like, for moments.
Well,
oh,
you know, you gotta think, like, I guess the Hound of Shadow attacks Pale in, like, chapter 4 or whatever. So I think, you know, it took some time for Hairlock to get there. So these two things are probably happening concurrently, but Hairlock is, like, a few days, you know, like, Whiskey Jack is getting a few days old news.
Okay, all right.
Like, there's a delay in the news. There's not a delay in time.
Yes, all right.
Are you playing a game on your phone, Inch? What are you doing?
No.
No.
No. Okay, this is just getting really hard. I don't think I can do the audiobook. I don't... it's really hard to follow. But I need to know, is Lore the...
Lorne?
The thing
Mage
that's...
Killer. Adjunct to the Empress.
Adjunct. Okay. Same person.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't really understand why they call her both names, but it's fine.
Well, the adjunct is her, like, title.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, she's cool. I couldn't tell the difference between... Is she a magic person?
No, her sword is anti-magic. It's made out of the stopping magic metal, Ototaril.
Now, okay, on that subject... And
sure.
This is probably spoilery, so you probably can't say anything. She mentions, after she gets hurt, they're like, oh, we'll bring our best, you know, healing mages. And she's like, at this point, you know, magic doesn't affect me. What's up with that?
Hmm.
Is she just, like, immune to it? Is it, like, should she touch the sword too long? Like... Like, is she the mage killer because she has the sword, or is she the mage killer because she has some inherent physical thing that has, like, aided her against mages?
More the former than the latter. She's killed a lot of mages, she has this sword, she has the Ode of Terrells.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not an inherent thing. She's
okay.
A human.
Gotcha.
Any other thoughts, or do we want to keep on trucking, so to speak?
I'd like to truck.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, let's truck. Chapter 10. Perrin and Tok meet up at an inn. Tok is surprised to see the captain alive. Together, they decide to furtively follow Tattersail's trail. Tattersail's on the Rivi Plain and encounters Bellerdin waiting to arrest or kill her. They converse. Bellerdin reveals that Taishrin was researching an ancient Jagat tyrant whose tomb lies east of Darujistan. Given no choice, Tattersail opens her warren. Affected by the elder magic of the Talanai Mass, it engulfs both she and Bellerdin in flame. Lorn and Tuul watch the warrens burn, observing the elder warren, Starval Demolane. Crone speaks with Kaladin Brood about Anomanda Rake, Opan, and the Crimson Guard. Tok and Perrin find Tattersail's body, with tiny tracks leading away from it. They suspect Lorne was involved, and Perrin swears revenge. Crone reunites with her ravens and discusses the elder sorcery over the Rivi Plains. They see it as a puppet who is attacking ravens over the plain. Crone flies back to Moonspawn to tell Anomanda Rake, whilst Hairlock tracks the adjunct Lorne and Tuul. I'm gonna go first. You know, it's gonna be a little twist for this section.
I like it.
And here's why. Because, you know, I'm reading through the second time, and, you know, I have such memories of reading the book, being so confused, and one of what I would say the defining features of the confusion is every few sentences you read this name, and you're like, oh, wait a second, do I know this person, or... And then, like, you cut away and it's a completely new person you've never heard of. And you're like, who's this person? You know, I'm always trying to figure out who are these things. However, reading through this time, you know, I know who all the main characters are, you know, or who the more important characters are. So, like, every time I read, like, Anomanda Rake, I see it in, like, big bold letters or something. Because I'm like, oh, important character, you know. However, that's hindsight's 20/20. You do not have that knowledge. And I had an identical experience when Crone was talking to Caladan Brood about the Crimson Guard and brings up one of their captains, Jorik Sharplance, who I'm going to go ahead and spoil it for you, is not a primary character for the rest of the series.
Okay.
Good to know.
I read this name and I was like, who the fuck is Jorik Sharplance? I've never heard of this character in my life. And, you know, it was a real throwback to having no clue who anyone was. So that's what I wanted to share from Pete.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, Pete.
This has been Pete Shares It.
I'm never gonna share again. You know, I just feel
really insightful.
I feel unappreciated. I feel like I just share stuff and it lands like a Led Zeppelin.
They did pretty well, actually.
I knew I shouldn't have said it.
You fucking idiot.
Oh my god. Josh, before we got on air, you said you liked the Caladan Brood stuff. What did you think of meeting the warlord of the Rivi Plains?
Okay, before we do that, I would like to go on record and say Bellerdin is my least favorite character so far in this whole book.
Why is that?
Fuck,
I guess
that
we're
guy.
Just screw Caladan Brood. We're just
we're going to get to Caladan in a second. But all Bellerdin has done is not be successful at Moonspawn.
That's true. Not entirely
fucking,
his fault.
Yeah, all right. Fucking hold his ex-lover's body and remains in a bag. Be pretty weird about it. Not move. Not be dead. Just unmoving for a few days. When someone's like, hey, that smells like shit. Can I, like, preserve it? He's like, yeah, dope, dope. And now we discover that he didn't bury it. He's still just holding on to this bag. All right?
He's the chilling.
Mother, okay, but fucking Taishrin's the one that got his lover dead. And he's here like... Oh, Taishrin's fuck you, Bellerdin, you idiot. All right, now let's go.
What was the question?
Okay, now Caladan Brood.
Well, I feel like we should talk about Bellerdin now, you know?
Said what I've said. He's dead. Who gives a shit?
Cutthroat.
All right, so Caladan Brood. So, I mean, we know almost nothing about him. What I find very concerning for the good people, and by good people, actually, who the fuck even is good, man?
The non-Alizan forces.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, to like, so like, Anamander Rake, we've seen, and it's pretty clear he's fucking powerful. And I feel like up until this point, I assumed that among the mortals, he was the most powerful in the game. And Kaladin Brood really does not seem to give two shits about him and seems to... And I was like, that's either dumb or this dude's so powerful, like, he just doesn't give a shit. And that's concerning.
Hmm. Well, Kaladin Brood certainly has some power to him.
Yeah,
I don't,
I'm curious
I don't know how much I can say.
So. Yeah, I assume not. It's okay. Now, his army, this was a thing I was trying to piece together.
He is the warlord of, like, the local plainsmen who are allying against...
Oh, God. I'm going to say this, India. If you understood any of this section, I would be okay, you're shaking your head. So... I was
wondering if my absence of speaking was going to be brought up, and you just outed me, so...
No, because let me tell you, I had the luxury of seeing all these words, and I could not keep track of them. So, like...
It was the Jarek Sharplance that really threw you off.
Yeah, so they're, like, north of Pale in some woods.
Yes.
And... Is this, like, a coalition of a lot of different peoples?
Yeah, so there's, like, amongst the people that have been opposing the imperial conquest of Genabacus, there's, like, the free cities, all of which have been conquered.
Right.
Next to Darujistan. Okay. And then there's kind of, like, you know, this loose coalition of forces. There's this warlord, Kaladin Brood. There's these sellswords, the Crimson Guard. And
okay,
now,
yeah, they're mercenaries.
And
okay.
There's Moonspawn and all the Tisty Andy on it, you know? So there's, like, a kind of loose floating army that's been fighting them, in addition to these free cities that have been falling.
Okay,
fighting
Malazan?
Yeah, yes. Fighting the Malazan.
And we don't really know their motivations yet, other than, like, not wanting to be in the Malazan Empire, right?
Which I think is a motivator for many people.
It's a pretty good one. Going off of that, because, like, we're pretty early on in this series, like, how much of the world is now this empire?
Yeah, great question.
Also, how many continents are there, and can I have a map?
There's maps in the PowerPoint.
Yeah.
What?
Great time as any. Time to shout out. I know I think we did it before. We've used, you sleep in X on X bed. The PowerPoint's off the Malazan subreddit. They're a great resource to people who are trying to read the books. So.
No, don't tell them that. We're a great resource for people trying to read the books.
Oh, the seven cities.
I'm trying to spread the love. Spread the love, Inge.
No.
All right, well, it's enough Kaladin Brood talk. Let's talk about Inge between, you choose, between Perrin, Hairlock kind of causing trouble, and then Tattersail's confrontation with Bellerden, and then their flamey engulfing death. Any of those stand out to you?
Take your pick. All right, I'm going to start with Tattersail. I actually thought I really enjoyed her character for the brief time that she was there, and I really thought that she was going to be, like, a main, just because, for some reason, she seems like the only character that isn't really, like, an asshole. I don't know. However, I did think she was kind of an asshole during the something of Pale?
Siege.
Yes. So, I'm sad that she's dead. I don't get why or how it happened. I thought that she had a warren and was able to use it. Why did she die?
Well, Josh, you take it.
Okay, so, first off, here's what I want to say. I haven't read the books, but, like, I've read a lot of fantasy books, and if I've ever seen they're not dead, they've changed shape, this is the biggest one I've ever seen. Like, she's def not dead.
I want you to look at Peter's face, and I think that you're right.
Yeah.
So that's
well,
great.
Because she has, like, in that last moment, and again, this is, like, one sentence. Is he good?
He's not good. You solved the puzzle. She's actually...
Yeah, she's super alive. Well, because, like, again, with the audiobook, there's, like, one sentence that said...
That doesn't...
Peter, come back
here. Nothing.
Come back, Peter.
Let it be known Peter's hiding his head behind a blanket right now. No, because there's, like, a sentence where she's like, and then she thought of Hairlock. And I was like, oh, so she's gonna put her body in something else or some bullshit. But then they were like, they said childlike foots, and now I'm wondering if she's, like, a baby. Which seems like a twist.
Look at Peter.
Oh, Peter's fucking face.
either I just, I can't speak about anything, you know?
Either, like, either I'm so right or I'm just not even close.
It's just hard, you know? There's this mystery and you're just taking big shots and I just don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, well, who knows? You could do like we did during Game of Thrones and claim to not have read the books.
I didn't read the books.
I didn't. Let's go with that. I actually haven't read the book. I don't know.
Okay, good. That's my theory, India.
I appreciate that theory. Good, because I really couldn't imagine. I mean, every character seems like a main character, but she seems like a super main, so.
Yeah, I agree. I would, we like, yeah. Ah, damn it. I missed four things in my trash can just then.
It's not about the shots that you take. Never mind.
And that's the attitude I want us to bring to reading Gardens of the Moon.
It's not about how many you miss. No, what is it? It's just about fear of striking out. Come on, what's the quote?
No, you got it. You got it.
I think you've said it.
It's not about fear of striking out.
I think you've said all the words, just not in the order.
It's just about playing the
game. Give it one more shot.
Okay. It's not about fear of striking out.
You know what? You know what, Inge? You know what?
I'm gonna cut my losses and let's just move on.
No. You know what, Inge? You know what? Let's
come on.
Let's start
segue.
Wrapping
come
it
on.
Up, and then at the very end, we'll let you go out and nail the phrase. You know?
Okay, fine.
Well, that sounds optimistic. As always, so I guess
don't
here,
let the fear of striking out keep you from playing the game.
Oh, she did it!
Boom!
Sorry, I couldn't hear you. It wasn't the end.
Oh.
All right. Josh, fill airwaves.
Fill airwaves. All right. There's this new song that Peter introduced me to today.
All right, we're done.
God so, damn it, every time.
We'll let you know next week.
Well,
Philadelphia.
All right. That's gonna do it for us this week on 10 Very Big Books. Next week, we're going to be reading Book 4, Assassins, and I think it's chapters 11, 12, and 13. Look for us then. We'll post the date. Maybe we'll edit in and afterwards. As always, tell a friend, you know, at 10 Very Big Books on Twitter and the Gmail. Send us a comment. I'm sure we'll post on the Reddit. We'll be around in the comments talking to folks. And then... We're recording this the day we just put the podcast up on the internet. We're having a few in the bank, and we want to get things going, but we received a lot of great feedback, so we just wanted to thank everyone for listening. Josh, do you have any predictions going forward? We're like midway through the book now. You actually could make a prediction.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to cover my face regardless of your prediction. So.
Okay. So I'm going to take a bold guess. So we met the Darujistan clan, and I think the Darujistan clan is going to mess with the plan that the bridge burners are going to enact. You know what I mean?
And you think our two sets of heroes are going to collide?
Yeah, well, the two sets of main characters that are in this city, I think they're going to collide. I don't know, however.
Any guess on who's coming out on top?
That's what I'm getting ready to say. I don't know whether it'll be a straight conflict or whether there'll be some vestiges of working together, you know what I mean? I could see the bridge burners spinning what they're doing in a way that could sound maybe as a positive to our miscreants in Darujistan. But we'll see.
India, any prediction? You predicted there would be more romance, and people got down this chapter, so...
Yeah.
So far...
I'm spot on with the predictions, I know. It's like I read the books. But I think that... Who's the coin bearer?
Oh, shit.
Josh, you got it?
No, that fucking kid, man.
It's a kid.
The young thief, Crocus Younghand.
Crocus. God damn it.
I think young Crocus is going to come through at some point, and he's going to do something that's going to be life-changing.
He's going to do something.
Love
I agree.
That specificness.
So you that let me know if you think that's a good prediction.
All right. And the phrase I was thinking you meant to say was, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
That's Wayne Gretzky, that's, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. I think that was more so where I was. Yes, that's 100% where I was going, Peter. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah,
so
but
I'd like to thank Peter for knowing
you said
quote that I was going to say.
You said a better quote, though. Whatever shit you said was hella better than that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Don't let the fear of striking out keep you from playing the game. Yes.
Is that a real quote?
Yeah, it's from a Cinderella story with Hilary Duff.
Oh, look it up. Fuck you.
Oh, my God.
God damn it.
All right.
Get me out of this fucking podcast.
See, we'll be back soon. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Love you. Good night.
Hello, everyone. It's producer AJ here again. We hit a milestone earlier this week when the podcast surpassed 1,000 total listens. That is absolutely bonkers. And we are so incredibly excited that you're enjoying this show as much as you are. Please keep listening. Please keep telling people. Keep tweeting us. We really love when people say, hey, you know, I just came across this. I just started reading this book and it popped up in my podcast feed. And that's really great. Just keep telling your friends. Keep rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts. That'll really help us out. We also want to thank Dan Geserich for making our logo. You can follow him on Twitter at Dan Geserich for the hottest contact solution takes. And of course, all of the music for the show comes from Amaranthine's album Simulant Rain, which you can find on bandcamp.com. Links to their pages will be in the show notes, and 10 Very Big Books will be back in 2 weeks. That is June 21st, 2019. Thanks so much for listening. See you then.